Anyway, I'm glad to be here. Hope you are as well.
Amen.
Hope everybody had a good week. Midweek service where we just get to come and open up the Bible and fellowship and talk about the Bible and
Jesus.
You know what I mean? That's a good time, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So why don't we pray and I guess we'll get started. How about that?
Yep. Thanks for waiting for us.
Father, we just come before you this evening, Lord, and just what a joy it is just to be able to do what your word says. And Lord, we belong to you. So when we come before your throne, Lord, we know you hear us. And Lord, we know these prayers are sweet incense to you. So we thank that. Thank you for that, Lord. And tonight, Lord, as we open up your word, and Lord, we just pray for your spirit to be moving and mindful and showing us, Lord, what it is you want us to see tonight, Lord. I thank you for each person here this morning, this evening, Lord, on this Wednesday night, Lord, who found it important enough to come and to learn and to share and to fellowship. Lord, this is an important time, and it's a time where you said not to forsake. So, Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, just bless this time. Of course, you already said if we read this book aloud that we would be blessed by it. Help us, Lord, to keep it. Just know that we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man. Guess what chapter we're on?
Oh,
we're going to be on chapter 5. Who in here has got a good memory?
I thought we had nine.
No. Man, you are slipping.
No.
Hey, would you give me at work?
All right, let me set the stage for you, because in chapter 4, verse 1, John is called up to heaven through an open door. He was called up, and when he called up in what? In the
Spirit.
In the Spirit, amen. And what he seen was this throne, right? This throne and the one that sat on it. He didn't give us a description of the one who sat on it, but he did tell us that there was jasper. And there was sardis, and there was a green emerald hue, and there was a rainbow, and there was a clear crystal sea in front of it. He also said there was 24 lesser thrones, right? And on those thrones were 24 elders. Now listen, also there was four living creatures, the Bible calls them. And they are, all right, who knows the faces? A man, a lion, ox, and an eagle. Man, beautiful. And they're all, now listen, they're singing a song. Anybody know what song is? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah! Are you guys picturing this chapter, man?
Yeah.
Because they're not the only ones singing a song, are they? Because now these elders, as those living creatures are singing, you know what they're doing? They're taking that gold crown off of their head, and they're laying it down at Jesus' feet, and then they're all singing something else. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Well,
receive glory and
honor
and power
for you. Wow, do you guys see this in heaven going on? But you can't really go into chapter 5 unless you can picture what's going on in chapter 4. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
All right, so now that we have recap, let's go into chapter 5. And chapter 5 is really going to be about the lion, the lamb, and the scroll.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. The lion, the lamb, and the scroll. So let's look at the throne and the scroll in verse 1 of chapter 5. Remember, we're still in the same context. John is right there in that beautiful scene with the elders and with the living creatures and this beautiful. And remember also, there was thunders and lightnings and man going on. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Now listen, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is telling him of things that will take place later. Am I right?
Yes.
So here's my question. Has this taken place yet?
No.
Okay, now if we believe, which we do, that the church was taken up in chapter 4, verse 1, after he got done dealing with the churches, there's a very good possibility that we're going to experience this.
Amen.
I think it's a very good possibility.
I think it is.
Yes. Wow. Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when you're preaching this or teaching this from a futurist view, none of this has happened yet. So, and if the church is raptured out and I'm the church,
hallelujah,
then I will be
in heaven.
I will be participating in this. How many is going to be with me?
Amen.
The rest of you come see me at church.
So that you can be there too.
Yes, because we want you there, man. We want you there.
Well, you'll hear about the other end, the other side, shortly.
All right, here we go. Wow. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. So the focus in chapter 4 was the throne and what was going on around the throne, right? Yep. So John begins here with the reference to the throne, but now he shifts his focus to what?
The scroll
held by
God.
Jesus. Yeah, God.
God the Father.
God, and it's going to be God the Father, yeah, because we're going to see in a minute that there can be nobody but God the Father. Yeah. Oh. Amen? Yeah. All right, so it also said, and this is very unusual, that it was written on the front and it was written on the back. That means this scroll was unusual.
Yeah.
It really was, because in this culture or in this time or any time, they didn't generally write on both sides of the scroll. They only wrote on one side. So whatever that means, whatever the information is on this scroll, I want you to know there's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Amen? There's a lot of it. It's written on the front and it's written on the back. You guys remember, you guys know how they actually read a scroll? They would hold it with their left hand, roll it down, right? Horizontally, right? And then as they were reading, the top would re-roll so that they could just keep rolling. Are you following me? They would never flip it around and read on the back. This is a very unusual scroll, but listen, we are in a very unusual place.
And time.
And time, yes. I put it in AI. I said, hey, if Revelations was written on a scroll front and back, how long would the scroll be? About 15 feet long.
Wow.
And some people believe this is the book of Revelations. I do not believe this is the book of Revelations written on the scroll. Because when you get on into this chapter, there's only one person who's going to be worthy to open it.
Jesus.
And I can open Revelation right now.
Yeah. Well, it says we're blessed if we read it.
Amen. Yes. So I don't believe that it is the book of Revelations written on that scroll.
It's in the future, too.
It is in the future, too. Amen.
That's right.
So it's sealed with seven seals, it says. So when a scroll was finished, it was refastened, re-rolled, and then with strings tied around it, or seals tied around it, and then there would have been a wax seal put over that string, right? So the wax would seal it. It was sealed. This particular scroll is sealed with seven strings or seals with the wax. I think I got a picture of it up here. See it?
That one on the top.
Now, do I know if this is exactly how it looked? No. But this is a pretty good idea of the way the description that we have here in the Bible. Amen? And that picture down in the bottom right corner, I want you to remember that, because that scroll will be handed off.
Yeah.
Amen? It will be handed off. So I want you to know these were not seven writings separated by seven seals, but seven seals all set upon a single scroll. And all of these seals must be pulled or unwrapped one by one before the scroll could be opened.
Correct.
Does that make sense? That's just common sense, right?
Yep.
Through the centuries, commentators have suggested many different ideas for what is written on this scroll, front and back. But it's important to remember, whatever was written on this scroll, this is important, that no one was worthy or will be or would be worthy to open it except for Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Now listen, I have a trick question. Everybody say trick question.
Trick question.
If you know what's written on the scroll, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. I didn't raise my hand either. I want you to know something. The scroll is never read. Okay? You go through there. You look all you want. That scroll is never read. So I want you to think about something. Here you have these six or seven seals on this scroll, right? So whatever is on this scroll, hear me, as Jesus begins to pull those off, whatever is written in there must be activated by him removing that seal.
Yeah. I mean, you can only imagine.
What a beautiful picture that is. Yeah. Because the scroll's never read. I promise you that.
Uh-huh. Amen. But he doesn't seal it and read the...
Well, then you're thinking wrong.
Let's go.
You get an ulcer holding your feelings in the way you
So I'm not going to share all of the ideas or what people think or what's all written on this scroll, but I do want to share a few with you. Some believe it's God's sentence against the enemies of the church, and perhaps this is true, not direct in a direct sense to say, but if that's the case, who would be unworthy to open that scroll? Come on. Some think the scroll is the title deed to the planet.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh.
That's a pretty prevalent belief that people think it is the. But listen, I don't believe that.
I was going to say it doesn't tie to all of the things that happened. That's weird.
That's an interesting idea, and especially since we're going to be ruling and reigning with him after the tribulation period when he comes back. During a 1,000-year reign. Am I right? But follow me. There is no doubt, based on the Bible, that everything, the earth and everything in it, belongs to him.
Yeah.
Listen here. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
Yeah.
Period. Period. Now, even though, you know what Satan's called? He's called the prince of the air, isn't he?
Yes.
And I think even though the governments of this world belong to Satan, in a sense, and there's no doubt about that, you guys remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
I want to read to you from Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 8. Listen, 5 through 8. The devil led him up onto a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Amen.
Bless you.
Listen, if God has to get the title deed back, you're going to have to explain to me when he ever lost it.
Yeah.
And you're also going to have to explain to me, if this is the title deed to Mother Earth, of the planet, of the universe, well, it's in God's hand, so how can it be lost? Are you following me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not lost, because that's not what it means. Another idea, that God has a scroll in which the history of the universe is already written.
Well, no.
He has written the history of the world in advance, and he holds in his hand the history of the world. And he initiates the consummation of all history. Now, only God could open that scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Yeah.
What about the book of life?
Huh?
What if it's the book of life?
Oh, no.
And the list of that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Even close. Not else? Even. No. No, it is not the book of life. Absolutely.
Just a thought.
Zero chance this is the book of life.
It has something to do with all of the things that happened with those seals. That's my point.
Well, we know that when he begins to open the seals in chapter 6.
The destruction starts.
There's the four horses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that first horse is the Antichrist.
Yep.
Amen? Mm-hmm. And he's riding a white horse. Mm-hmm. And it is the Antichrist. Absolutely, it is the Antichrist, and I'll prove that to you, but that's next week.
Yeah.
No, maybe next month. But we just got to make sure. We just got to make sure we understand this as we go through it. You get it? Doesn't matter how long it takes. I just want you to have an understanding of what it says. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So here, and as we see this, listen. Here's what we know. We've been through this book before. We went through it in 2016.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It took us 18 months. Am I right?
Yeah.
It did.
We know that that first seal that Jesus is going to pull. Start something.
It ignites the rest.
Yeah. So if I was going to say to you, what do I think is written on this scroll? I think that it is the consummation of all things. It was written in advance by an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent.
And it's almost
God.
Like he sealed that for a later time.
Yes. Now listen, you're right. Think about it. And we'll get into this as there's only one found to be worthy to open this.
Know this until yes. the right time.
Yes. So the scroll is written, right? Here it is. Yeah.
It did say it was front and back, so it means it's complete, right?
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Nothing can be added to it. It's
nothing can be taken away from it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I'll wait till we get there to explain that to you, but don't let me forget because it's a beautiful picture. Because I want you to see. From the beginning, when God said in the beginning, what the Bible says in the beginning, God created. It's all leading up to this point right here.
Absolutely.
It is, man. The culmination of that leads to this, which leads to the culmination
of the end.
Of the end. Are you following me? Just follow me for a minute, all right? All right, let's finish up that particular. In the last part of that verse 1, it says, in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll. Man, can you picture this guy? I can't picture him because nobody's ever seen God. And that's why John can't describe God, because nobody's ever seen him, and nor can he see him now.
He's holding that
scroll. He's holding that scroll, but he can see the scroll in his right hand.
His authority and his possession for the right time.
Yeah. And I want you to remember, the emphasis here is not necessarily on what's on the scroll, but who has the scroll and who is going to be worthy to open the scroll. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Listen, sometimes we get so lost in the details. Somebody texted me this week and said, hey, what happens to our bodies when we rapture up?
Who cares?
And, you know, I tried to call them and say, because it's more than you can answer in a text.
And I didn't answer the phone.
And she didn't answer, so I sent her this. Too much to text? Who cares? I wasn't going to throw you under the bus. I don't know why you jumped under
it. It's okay. I'm waiting on you. Wow.
It was a messenger. It was brought to my
attention.
Oh.
So
I don't want to discourage anybody from contacting me. I will answer you and I will call you. We will talk about it anytime. Amen.
Answer your phone.
But if you don't answer your phone, you're going to get the short answer. And listen. Really, who cares? Right?
She more or less she cared about where her screws are in her knee and stuff. What was gonna happen to that?
Yeah.
I said, I have no idea.
Do you care?
Nothing. The Bible says no flesh and blood
will enter.
No, that means no worldly stuff, material at all.
No screws and bolts.
No screws and bolts. But listen, I just want to be honest with you. And I hope she's not watching, but you know what? If you ask that question, that's kind of giving away your biblical knowledge, and it's not very much. Just being honest with you, man. If you're worried about where your bolts and nuts are going to go,
where are your spiritual beings?
Yes.
Say that you were saying, who has the scroll?
God has the scroll. And that'll be very evident here in a minute.
I know, but say that you were saying, who has the scroll? What was those that you were saying?
And Jesus is the only one that can open it.
Yes, and we'll see all that in this chapter, so just bear with me. Sometimes we go slow.
That's what I wanted is the rest of that. Thank you, Tracy.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's go on to verse 2 through 4.
I'm trying to write it down.
And here, who is worthy to open the scroll is what he's going to be talking about.
Okay.
And then remember, we're still in this beautiful throne room, all right? Don't lose that picture. Because all this is happening in absolute majesty, a majestic, beautiful place. Remember what I told you in the beginning. The reality is always better than what John can describe.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's always better. All right. Then I saw a strong, some of your Bibles say mighty, angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?"
Amen.
And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it.
Amen.
So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it.
It says read.
Huh?
It doesn't say read.
Yeah.
Mine says read it.
Yeah,
read it. That's what mine says.
Hey, hey, hey. Who cares? That's a detail that doesn't matter at all, though.
Mine says look inside.
He's just trying to explain something that he's seeing.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah,
you can look inside. All right.
We don't know who this angel is, but he's a mighty angel. He's a strong angel, depending on which version you have. But this angel here issues a challenge. And he issues the challenge to all the universe,
yep,
to all creation, does he not?
Yep.
And he says, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? That's what he says. And the answer to this challenge, or there is a challenge. No, this is a challenge that no creature, now listen, no creature can answer because no creature is worthy,
yep,
to take the scroll, to open the scroll, or even look at the scroll, because it says no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. Wow.
Well, and it says no one was found worthy. So it's like they inventoried.
Now, do you understand now while I think this is most probably the consummation,
yeah,
or the beginning of the consummation of all things. Amen.
That's deep.
It is deep. This is Revelation. You gotta have your shovel, man. Alright? Now listen, John couldn't have said that any stronger. I mean, if it was as if this mighty angel looked out over the entire universe, over the entire creation, right? To find someone worthy.
Yep.
And he found who? How many?
No one.
And he didn't find anyone even to look at it. See, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Even to look at it, not necessarily to read it. Man, let's finish this a little bit here before we go on, because this, man, people, you know, if you want to find a contradiction in the Bible, you will find it.
Yep.
But if you're looking for contradictions in the Bible, I don't know if you got the Spirit. I'm just being honest with you. Come on. You know, a lot of people have said, because what does it say here? John is in heaven. He is before the throne of God. He is before God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, so I wept much. People say, there it is, contradiction, because God says there's no crying in heaven.
It's not that kind of crying.
Oh, my.
He says he wept. I would have never thought that.
No, he's weeping. He's crying. Make no mistake about it. He's weeping. But listen, if you know the Bible, then you know in chapter 21 it says, the old heaven and the old earth passed away, and behold, the new heaven and the new earth. And then he says,
there'll be no crying.
I've wiped away their tears.
So listen, man, quit it. Quit it. And just because you don't understand something don't mean it's a contradiction.
Don't get hung up on the little things.
Don't get hung up on the little things. And you know what? If you were to die today and you were to see Jesus, there's a very good chance.
I'd be crying.
I might be crying on the way. Amen.
Tears of joy.
All right. So here's what I want to ask you. Why is John crying?
Because no one was found worthy.
I mean, I know that. That's what it says. But why was he crying? I mean, because no one was worthy to open the scroll? Was he crying because Jesus had made him a promise, and now that promise seems going to be delayed? Because he said, hey, I'm going to show you the things which must take place.
Yeah, I think it's an overwhelming.
Yes.
Everything.
That's what I was going to say, overwhelmed.
Yes. And maybe he's crying because You know, he had a promise that God was going to show him the consummation of everything, the end times and all that. And now, here's this scroll and nobody can open it.
Nobody's worthy. I want to know.
Have you ever had such a when you look forward to something, you have such a
high hope.
Anticipation. Thank you. And then when it don't happen, you get emotional.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I would have some pretty high hopes under this circumstance, too. Seeing what I'm seeing and what's going on in this scroll. And I know this scroll is the key to everything. And all of a sudden, this mighty angel comes out and says, who is worthy? And there ain't nobody.
Well, it almost like Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? That's the thing, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Is there anybody worthy? Anybody worthy? Like, how sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nobody worthy?
Well, there's a reason nobody's worthy.
Exactly.
All right.
It says why he was wept, weeping, because no man was found.
Yeah.
He wept much because no man was found.
Yeah, because no man was found to open it. But there has to be an underlying reason for that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. Maybe.
Well,
I'm just peeling back the layer and wondering, you know, if it's because he's heartbroken because now everything that he was fixing to see and everything that he was fixing to know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes, there's nobody worthy. Yes.
Yeah.
He's sad because
All right, let's move on from that one. All right. So the Lion of the tribe of Judah is what we're going to see is the only one worthy to open the scroll. Verse 5 and set through 7. Now listen, picture this in your mind because John is there. He is weeping, right?
Yep.
But one of the elders said to me, can you see it?
Do not weep.
Hey, it's going to be okay.
Don't weep. Do not weep.
I love my mind's eye because it's a great thing. See? Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its 7 seals. Now listen, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain.
Amen.
Having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came, remember that picture I showed you? And took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. I don't know. That's a beautiful.
Amen.
And listen. I am so sure that I will be a witness to this transaction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Golly, what a blessing. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you really believe that?
Absolutely.
Well, live like it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Brother Dane.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you, man. Are you familiar with oneness doctrines?
Who?
Oneness.
Yeah.
That, you know, some religions teach that Jesus is everything. He's the Spirit. Mm. He's the Father. This is the strongest passage you can show someone that believes that. Because they can't refute it. I mean, there's nothing they can say about it.
Or you could show them his baptism, or you can show them the transfiguration, or, you know, there's all kinds of...
You say, if Jesus is God, then... Who did he take the scroll from?
Yeah. I mean, if Jesus is God the Father.
Yeah,
if Jesus is God the Father, then who spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son who I'm well pleased?
Yeah.
You know, even during the Transfiguration, he said the same thing. This is my Son who I'm well pleased. The Trinity, for me, is not an issue.
That's the easiest.
Even in the beginning. In the beginning, Elohim, meaning plural. Yeah. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. Hello. Yes. No. I don't study all that. I just studied the Bible. I don't study Calvinism or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody confronts you, you gotta.
I just give them the Bible, the truth.
Yeah.
I don't care what they think. I don't. I'm just gonna tell them what the Bible says.
Exactly.
That's all I gotta do is present the truth.
Well, and I think that's you know, we talk about that on occasion. That's your easiest out to avoiding an argument.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what the Bible says.
Yeah, and if I'm going to discuss something with somebody, I'm going to tell them right up front. I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible is inherent word of God. So anything that I say to you or I answer you by, it will be based on that particular theology of the Bible. That's it. I don't know theirs. I mean, I know a little Mormon, a little Jehovah's Witness. I know a little of the five Calvinistic things. But that's only because I've talked to people who tried to convince me of it. Right?
Easiest way to spot a lie is to know the truth.
That's right, man. You shall know the truth.
The truth shall set you free.
All right. Are we going to read through that?
Yes.
All right. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, one of the elders, not an angel, right? Rescues John from his grief.
Yeah.
I love that picture, man. Showing him that the one who has prevailed to open the scroll. Mm-hmm. And this one was the great figure of the Old Testament prophecy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
The root of David.
Yeah.
The Messiah. Not only the Messiah for Israel, but the Savior
of the world.
Of the world. Your Savior and my Savior. Amen. So the Messianic title, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, this ain't the first time that we've heard that, right? It's in Genesis 49, Isaiah 31, Hosea chapter 11. The root of David is also in Isaiah chapter 11, and it's going to be repeated again in Revelation chapter 2. Here's the deal. There's no doubt who this person is there?
No.
There's not. There's not any doubt who this person is.
I think people reading this, who are well versed in the Old Testament, this is just like listing the credentials. This is the credentials. That's it.
You know, I don't know who I shared this with, but you know, when I look at this book of Revelation right here, you know, that's all it is. That's it. And I truly believe it's in the back of the book, because you'll never have a true understanding of this until you put some time and effort into understanding this. Make no mistake about it, man. All this can be verified with all this.
Well, and you know what's beautiful, I think, for those of us obviously here Sunday mornings, is the root of David. Like, we're understanding.
Yeah, for Samuel
that
and Samuel.
Root of David, right?
Yeah.
For Samuel.
David, he's a special dude, man. He is a special dude. All right. And I looked, and behold, stood a lamb. All right. So he said, don't worry, man. There's a Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's worthy to open the scroll, right? So, and I looked, John says, and I looked, and behold, a lamb. So because of the elder's announcement and his, you know, encouragement, right, John turns clearly to look, and he expects to see a lion. And what does he see?
A lamb.
A lamb as though it had been
slain. This is a killer lamb, though.
This is not the lamb you think it is. I just want you to know that.
It's not
that,
your
man.
Pet lamb.
I just want you to know, remember, the reality is always better than the description. Oh, so the lamb is pictured here in both really a sympathetic but yet a very powerful way, because he is living, is he not?
Yeah.
Stood a lamb, it says, but he still had the marks of a previous sacrifice upon him, because it says as though he had been slain. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Amen. So the lamb looks as though it has been slain. Is that what the Bible says?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to describe what John is seeing here. I just want you to know, I've tried in my mind, and I'm not picturing a lamb from the field. That's not bloody lamb. That ain't what I'm picturing at all. It's really hard for me to see this, but I understand that Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. So when I use that term, when I use the word lamb, I mean, who do you think it is?
Jesus.
It is Jesus, but I'm saying it's not a lamb.
No.
It's not. It's the lamb that was slain that still has the marks from the sacrifice by which it was slain. That means he's still got nail holes in his hands, a hole in his side, nails in his feet. He still has the scars of the sacrifice.
Well, didn't we talk about the hair that's white as wool, the flaming eyes, and you know, sharp two-edged tongue. And I mean, that's who I'm seeing. You know, when I see that.
When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God."
Yeah.
Which takes away sin. Where he Jesus wasn't a lamb. He was a man.
Yes.
But he was sacrificed as a lamb.
Right. So, and the reason they used lamb, because lamb was the most thing sacrificed, and they sacrificed the lambs for the atonement of sin. That's why he, when they say there, when John said, "Behold the Lamb," he means that is the God from heaven who is coming to pay the penalty for the world's sins. That's what he was saying.
He was the final sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because he was it.
I think you notice that lamb is capitalized.
So you think that maybe.
Were you finished?
Yeah.
Can I speak now?
Yeah.
Okay. You think that maybe because Jesus was slain and did pay the ultimate sacrifice? That's the reason why he was worthy to loose the seal.
You're getting ahead of me, man, but yes. I mean, listen, and when you understand that, Chris, when you understand that, what you just said, that you can look back now to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and you can understand that everything that happened between there was all leading up to Jesus going to the cross, to Jesus dying on the cross, to Jesus resurrecting, to Jesus being on this earth for 40 days before he was taken back into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. And he's sitting there and he's waiting for what? This moment. Oh, man. So yeah, I get that.
And going back to our scrolls discussion, right? Exactly. Yes, it's time to open.
Yes.
It's time.
It is time. Yes.
You know, one thing that kind of excites me about this is it's talking about the Lamb, but it's talking about that he is in the midst of all these creatures and the elders. I mean, he's right in the middle of it. It's not like he's off in a back room somewhere. He's in the midst.
Yeah. I mean, he is at the right hand of God. Amen? And, you know, just the way my mind works, I don't know if yours does, but the Bible does say that it was in God's right hand, and who would be at God's right hand?
Yeah.
It would be right there for him to
hand it over.
Receive the scroll. That's how my mind plays those little slides in my head.
My mind goes to weirder stuff. Like it says he was standing.
Yes.
You know, there's only one other time in the Bible that it says Jesus was standing.
With Stephen the martyr.
All the other times it says he was sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
So this is only the second time.
It was time to stand.
Standing, sitting, we know where he's at.
Yeah.
He's at the right hand of God. All right, so the coming judgment beginning in chapter 6 is dictated, will be dictated, and will be administered by this lamb who was slain, who was already offered an escape from that judgment, right, by taking upon him the sins of the world upon himself. The judgment will come upon a whole world that hates the lamb, hates what he stands for, hates who he is, and have rejected his offer of escape.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yes, sir.
You better quit trying to get ahead of me, man. Just kidding. I like being on the same page, man.
Yeah.
You know I don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all. We're on the same page. Have rejected his offer of escape. All right. As though it had been slain. So I want you to think about this, because the idea is that the sacrifice of Jesus, when I think about this and when I read this, is that the sacrifice of Jesus is still fresh and still current.
I think if he showed,
before God.
If he showed up differently, people are like, yeah, that's some other guy, right? Like, you have to see him for what he did for the world, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but the fact that he's there, here's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
The fact that he's there and he still has, he looks as a lamb that has been slain. I want you to know, even though it's been thousands of years, it is still there, fresh and current.
There isn't any time.
Right in front of God. No, I'm talking about for us, not for him. Yeah. Right there, it's fresh and it's current. And every time he sees him, he's reminded. Am I not right?
We have to see him that way.
You listen, when Jesus reached out to take the scroll, did he have a nail, did he have a scar on his head or not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If he was a lamb who still had the sacrifice or the scars of the sacrifice, then yes.
But not according to your picture. You said to remember your picture.
Look, the hand is hidden, man. You can't see the hole.
Good.
It's all about camera.
There's one in every crowd, my friend. All right. Let's go on. Having seven horns and seven eyes. So don't think this is a lamb. Come on. Which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So even though the marks on this, the marks of his sacrifice are evident, the lamb here is not presented in any way as an object of pity.
No.
You get that, right? In any way is he presented as an object of pity. He also bore the marks here of omnipotence. You know why?
Eyes.
Seven horns.
Oh, sorry. Horns.
Seven horns. Power in completeness. If you believe seven means complete.
Yeah.
Amen? And it says seven eyes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you picture this figure there as a lamb who has been slain, standing there with seven horns and seven eyes? Now listen, it's not like you and I are picturing it.
No.
It's not. The reality is going to be way different, because what John's trying to say is this is an all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing God who went and died for the sins of the world. And that's what makes him worthy, and the only one worthy, to open that scroll. It's a beautiful sight, man. Oh man, we'll be crying our eyes out.
Every knee will bow.
Remember what Spurgeon said? If you ain't learned how to sing before God, you better learn now while you're here.
Because we're gonna be
doing some praise and amen. All right. What a figure, though, man. What a figure this is, and the description that he gets when you understand the rest of the Bible, right, and what it means. So throughout the scripture, eyes suggest what? Knowledge, wisdom, a fact that you can see everything. Yes.
He sees
it all. So omnipresent and omnipotent God.
Yeah. Amen.
The
way I saw it.
And then the horns is omniscient, right? All powerful. So the lamb has knowledge, wisdom, and power fulfilled perfectly in the seven horns and the seven eyes. That's what John's trying to get across to us, that this is God in front of him. That's the point he's trying to make. Amen? It said, I want to read this to you again, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth.
Explain. Completeness.
Yeah, explain, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of God. Oh, we getting into that oneness? No, quite the opposite, actually. You guys understand what I say when I make that statement? In the sense of being just the Holy Spirit of God. Because if it is the Holy Spirit of God, it is also the Holy Spirit of Jesus.
Amen.
God the Father.
You say, Pastor, can you prove that? Oh, just so happens I can. Paul's second missionary journey. I want you to remember this. In Acts chapter 16, verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia.
Slide.
Thank you.
Hey, we got a new boot back there, man. Be easy on it. All right. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus would not let them go. Would not let them. Amen. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit of Christ, then they do not belong to Christ. Man. The seven eyes of the Lord are also a picture of omniscience. I want to show you that drawn from the prophet Zechariah. Listen to what he wrote. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout all the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. That talks about omniscience, all-seeing, all-knowing. Amen? All right, any questions on that? Here we go. Then he came and took the scroll. Can you picture that?
Yep.
He came and took the scroll. No created being was found worthy to take the scroll, but the Lamb that was slain with the seven horns and the seven eyes, he could take it. His rank, his character, and ability to take the scroll, to open the scroll, open the seals of the scroll, and dictate the destiny of creation. And he was able to do that because of what Chris said, because what he had done and demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Amen? No one else could take that scroll. But because God, the Son, stepped out of heaven and put on flesh. And remember, we talked about this in Sunday morning Bible study, that man and God, he created us like him in his image, so we are compatible.
Yep.
And I can prove that to you because Jesus did step out and take on flesh.
Of like kind.
Of like kind. Oh. All right. Any questions on that? How much time we got? All right. Because this is a pretty good piece right here. You ready?
Yeah.
Verse 8 through 10. Now, keep this reel playing in your head, where we're at, what's going on, the singing, all that, the lamb that had been slain, the weeping, all that, because it's all together, right? Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, out of every tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign Hallelujah. On the earth." Wow. All right, we could just quit. Really? We could just quit. Because that right there, man, that's a lot. But I want you guys to think about something. Go back to what he promised the overcomers when he was talking to the churches. Man, you and I have some magnificent promises.
Yep.
We do, man. We do. All right. So when the Lamb took the scroll, I want you to notice the response was immediate.
Yep.
High-ranking angels, these cherubim or whatever, seraphim or whoever, that fly around the throne all day long, consistently, right?
Everybody.
They all of a sudden just, and start praising and worshiping the Lamb that was slain. Amen. You know, the Bible says each one of them have a harp. Those of you who love music like me and believe music can bring you into a certain place, there's going to be some music in heaven, huh?
Amen.
And you know where, you know how everybody, this is where, this passage is where people get the idea that we all have a harp in heaven. You guys seen the angel sitting on the cloud playing a harp? Well, this is where that comes from. I don't know if that's true. I just know that. Well, they have. Yeah, what are you going to, man? They're, wait a minute. They're in a different section. They're in a different section. But where they're at, it's hot.
Real hot.
Yeah, the ones who don't believe in instruments, man. Oh, all right. Listen, and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayer of the saints. Man, so with their golden bowls full of incense, the elders present the prayers of the saints. I want you to understand that. Notice they do not, or did not, intercede for the saints. So that they're not functioning here as mediators for God's people in any way. Are you following me? You say, Pastor, why are you being so dogmatic on that? Well, because there are those that believe that we should pray for the saints and pray to the saints so the saints can pray for us.
Stop it.
You know what I say?
Stop it.
Here's what I say.
Read the book.
Right here. That means put the next verse up, Aaron. Did I not have that verse on there?
Yeah,
I don't have 1 Timothy 2:5. Oh.
There we go.
We got a new boot back there, man. Be careful.
Got a QR. You got to give her the scripture.
Oh.
Good job, Aaron.
What was that dude's name? In Greece?
John.
Yeah. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. And that is the man.
The man.
Boom. Jesus Christ. Amen. So the elders here are not praying for the saints. There is in no way justifies any kind of Roman Catholic belief or tradition or custom of praying for the saints. Amen. They simply have the prayers and they are presenting them. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right. I want you to think about these golden bowls that he says here. These golden bowls full of incense. So I want you to see in this, because these represent what? Your prayers and my prayers. Listen to me. Your prayers to God
are a sweet,
they are very, very special. And they, in this, he's trying to show us how special they are by telling us that they're like sweet incense kept in a golden bowl. Wow. Amen.
How full is your bowl?
Huh? My bowl is empty. I don't have that golden bowl.
She meant the one that's holding it.
Oh.
Holding
my bowl.
You
mean the ones he's holding for me, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know how many he goes, yeah, that's selfish. Yeah, you don't got the right attitude with that one.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
That's not according to my will.
That'd be burned up.
Huh?
That'll be burned up.
If you pray anything according to my will, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. So he regards our prayers as a sweet-smelling incense, right? And it's as if he sets them in these golden bowls. Yeah.
Yeah, just thinking about all the martyrs throughout the ages that have been crucified or killed for the name of Jesus, even today, where those of Islam are putting Christians in cages and setting them on fire, you know, gasoline,
yeah,
things like that. You know, you got to remember the judgment of God is about to be poured out on
that's right,
for the things they've done, and these prayers are reminders,
yes,
of all the saints that have suffered for
Christ's
name.
Amen. And you know what, man, just look at your prayers from a different perspective here.
Yep.
Because God covets those prayers. He wants those prayers. And listen, clearly he keeps those prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
They're treasures.
Man. In Psalm 141, 2, I want to read it to you. He said, may my prayer be set before you like an incense. Right? And may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice.
Amen.
Listen, you know what this is? This is praise.
Surrender.
This is surrender.
Amen.
This is so many things. And I'm not scared to raise my hands to God. He is worthy
for
me to raise my hands to. Amen. You know, so incense has a pleasing aroma. It ascends to heaven, right? But it also needs fire before it's of any use.
Yep.
And what's represented by the fire?
Sanctification.
What carries our prayers? Would it be the Holy Spirit, maybe?
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful picture here. It is a beautiful picture. We've all burned incense, right? He's just showing us here that our prayers are very, very important. Very, very important. All right, so it says, you are worthy. So here the ruler of the world is honored. Am I right?
Yep.
I want to read something to you again. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, the elders praised God back in chapter 4. You remember? But the emphasis was on God's creation. I want to reread that to you. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. But here, the emphasis is on one thing.
Yep.
And that is redemption.
Yep.
Redemption. Amen. You've been redeemed, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh, dang it.
Thank you. Do it again.
All right. I broke this down, and when I broke this down, man, I'll just tell you, man, I had to get up from my chair. I did. I had to go stand by the window. I did.
Yep.
It's just a beautiful thing when you break it down. Let me break it down for you. Put that next slide up, please. You see that? That is what he just said here, broke down. All right. I'm going to show you. So this song that they're singing here honors the price of redemption, for you were slain, right? The song honors the worker of redemption. You have redeemed us. It honors the destination of redemption because you have redeemed us unto God. It honors the payment of redemption because we were redeemed by His blood. It honors the scope of redemption because it's every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. But listen, it also honors the result, the end result of redemption, and that is that He has made you and I kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth.
Amen.
Man, if you could just get a hold of that, right?
Yep.
And walk in that. Yeah, Chris.
It says it three times in Revelations. Revelation 1:6, Revelation 26, and then here. That we're going to reign with them.
Yes, absolutely. We are going to. And we will be present for all of this because it hasn't happened yet. Amen?
Amen.
So why are we kings and priests? Because we have been born again. And we've been born into royalty. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new
creation.
Old things have passed away and all things became
new. All things became new. You know what? Paul said we're seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. If we could get a grip on that.
Yes.
And what power we have even now.
Yes.
I mean, but we can't fathom that. We can't get a hold of it.
Nope. Too much noise. Too much noise, man. The signal's out there, and I separate like this. You got noise, and you got signal. Kind of like an old radio. Remember you trying to tune it in? And today, the noise is just
way overpowering.
And if you're not walking in the Spirit, all you'll hear is noise. You'll be led around by everything you read on social media, everything you hear on the news. But if you walk in the Spirit, listen to me, and you know the truth, the truth will set you free, and you're not tuned into that noise. You're tuned into the signal.
Amen.
And you're hearing it loud and clear.
Everything else is just static.
It's just noise, man.
Amen.
It's just noise. All right, I'm going to close with this. A Spurgeon quote. Man, right on time. All right. I want you to think about this. Spurgeon could put things in things ways I would not even have thought of. But I want you to listen to it. When a fellow comes forward in all sorts of curious garments and says he is a priest, the poorest child of God may say, "Stand away. Don't interfere with my office.
Woo-hoo.
I am a priest.
Come on.
I know not what you may be. You surely must be a priest of Baal.
Oh, God.
For the only mention of the word vestments in Scripture is in connection with the temple of Baal.
Yep.
The priesthood belongs to all the saints.
Amen.
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 I love the way he put stuff, man.
That was really,
you know what I mean? There's people that go to churches and they don't have pastors or they have priests. Huh? I don't know who you are, but I know who I am. And I am redeemed, and I am a priest unto my God.
Amen.
And you know what that word priest means? I don't need a mediator except for
Jesus
Christ.
Amen.
Yes, man. Man, that's good stuff.
Amen.
I don't care who you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Excellent.
Excellent. We'll pick it up in verse 11. Man, I'll tell you what. Chapter 6 gets really hairy, so you need to read ahead. As the four horsemen of the apocalypse show up. Amen? Yeah.
Permission to sing two sentences.
Why don't you sing two sentences and then close us out, Al?
Okay.
How about that? Have I forgotten anything? Don't forget chili. Have your chili here by 10. Cookies here by 10. Listen. Don't get mad at me if you're here at 10:10 and you're done. You're disqualified. Don't get mad at me.
Come on. We got to stay. schedule to
keep. We got a schedule to keep, man. All right? Don't be like John. We've been...
Now, we'll take your chili and we'll take your cookies. Yes. This won't be in the contest.
Yes.
We'll eat them.
I'm not itching to see.
Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Three persons. Woo-hoo! Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you're an evangelist, not a singer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love you so much, and we know you love us so much. If we could just understand but a fragment of Revelation, we know that all things work together for us that have faith, and in time we'll see it much more clearly, but a little dab will do you, Lord, and we appreciate that. And thank you for the fellowship here and our friendships and Pastor Dean and our new plans for our new building. Help us all be better Christians and help us all get back here Sunday morning safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Al.